Is this thing on? All right, let's go ahead and get the show going.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. Hello. Welcome, one and all. It is February 14th, 2022. And that means, in the United States at least, it is Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day to everyone there. It is Monday, though. So that means we've got lots of disturbing death and destruction to talk about. Before we do, though, it's important, or not important, but it's fun. If you'd like to participate during the show, or just kind of talk and chat with the folks that are listening, just SSH over to sdf.org. That's what I'm doing right now. Put in your PIN to your YubiKey. And then once you get connected, you'll want to launch COM, which is a C-O-M. That's a chat program. It's short for Commode Chat. So just run C-O-M, press Enter. One second. Sorry. I drank a carbonated water and I had a burp kicking up. And for me, I'm running Tmux Attach, but something's afoot. It is sitting here just blinking dot at me. So we'll give it just one second. Oh, it looks like maybe my connection hung. Oh well, we'll just start a new terminal. And get that over with. Alright, here we go. Oh, my Tmux session is gone. That's why. That's why it couldn't attach to it. We'll just go ahead and create a fresh one. And from there, we'll go ahead and launch COM. And once you launch COM, then you press G for go to, and then you type a non-radio, A-N-O-N, a non-radio, all lowercase. And then once you're there, boom, a non-radio, then you'll be in the cool room and get to hang out with folks like SMJ and Paul, Kilo 7, Papa Juliet, Papa, and Dirty Rig, and Claudio M, and lots of folks, GTC 1977, Tobe will be around, I'm sure. But yeah, apparently, several of the machines in the cluster, SDF cluster, had processor upgrades last night. Oh yeah, so I guess if your Tmux session died, you got a new fancy saucer section. But anyway, hello, welcome X1, and thanks everyone for being here. Let's go ahead and get started. There is, SMJ is letting us know, and just everyone in general, if you're using SDF, jump on over to Bboard and read the announce board. I go to Bboard every morning, but I always forget to check announce, so thanks for the reminder. All right, well, yeah, well, let's go ahead and hold on to your butts, hold on to your hearts, because it's time.
World news.
For the world news. Oh, man. So, we got to start off, on one of the ways that we interact, and that is we're talking about baby murder. So, a primary school teacher in Nigeria has been arrested for allegedly flogging a 19-month-old child to death. The deceased, identified as Obinna, was allegedly given 31 strokes of the cane by the suspect for getting wet from playing with water. The Asaba Delta State Police have launched an investigation into the case. The police confirmed the victim died on Saturday. We have the suspect, who is the son of the owner of the school, in our custody. The police public relations officer in the state, DSP Bright Edafe, said. Meanwhile, the Delta State government has sealed up a Rise nursery and primary school where the alleged incident took place, adding that the school was operating without approval. Advocates for Children and Vulnerable People Network alleged that Obinna's hands and legs were tied before the flogging started. Chief Operating Officer of the network, Ebenezer Omejalili, said the suspect and the proprietor were initially arrested but released due to agreement with the victim's family. Omejalili said the suspects were rearrested on Saturday after the baby died. These cases seem to be on the increase in recent times. 2 weeks ago, the police in Kano also arrested two suspects, Abdul Malik Mohammed and Hashim Asiaku, for allegedly abducting and killing a 5-year-old girl, Hanifa Abubakar. We talked about that. Welcome, Trev Dev. Thanks for tuning in. This is a really sad one. At least the perpetrators are locked up and behind bars, so we'll see what happens there. Well, now one. Let's go to two. Two dead as train collides with truck in Zambia. Two people have died after a cargo train crashed into a truck at a railway crossing north of Zambia's capital, Lusaka, on Monday. Operators of the train were killed in the incident, Donald Molinda, police commander for Zambia's central province, told reporters. So, sad news there. In Austin, Texas, just to give you some local flavor, welcome, JNS. Thanks for tuning in. Join in, com. We had several, probably, I think we had five or six motorcycle fatalities from Friday to today. It's wild. Be careful out there. Well, what else is happening? Well, more pain.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Police kill man wielding knife at Paris station. French police have shot dead a man wielding a knife who threatened them at Paris's Gare du Nord train station. Or is it Gare? G-A-R-E. So I'm going to say Gare du Nord train station. The man attacked two police officers on patrol at the station with a 30-centimeter, which is 12-inch long knife, police say. An anti-police inscription was found on the man's knife. No police officers were injured in the incident, which had occurred about 700 local time, which is 7 a.m. The authorities believe the incident was not terrorism-related. The police used their firearms, thus eliminating all danger, both for themselves and for travelers. An eyewitness told BFMTV, it makes me think of, oh, Gar. Thanks, Stug. Hey, Stug, thanks for tuning in and being here. Gar. So we'll go ahead and say Gare du Nord. All right. An eyewitness told BFMTV, it makes me think of BMF, which is on the wallet at the end of Pulp Fiction. Anyway, I was climbing up the stairs that go up to the Eurostar platform. I heard screams on the right. I saw a man, quite tall, a large knife in his hand with a very impressive blade, who threatened two or three policemen who were armed. The police made us go up on the platform, made us lay on the ground. Transport Minister Jean-Baptiste Djebari told RMC-TV that the man was known to police as someone who was wandered around in the station. He appears to have attacked the police with a knife, forcing them to use their weapon. So, it's pretty gnarly stuff. Rare thing for police to shoot and kill people, in Paris anyway. United States, not so much. Well, speaking of the United States, a New Mexico man is arrested over stabbings of 11 people in Albuquerque. Police in Albuquerque arrested a man suspected of stabbing 11 people as he rode a bicycle around the city over the weekend, leaving two victims critically injured. He was identified as 42-year-old Tobias Gutierrez and booked into jail overnight on charges of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, police in New Mexico's largest city said in a statement on Monday. Police spokesman Gilbert Gallegos told TV station KRQE that the stabbings appear to be random. There doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason at this point. Officers responded to a report of a stabbing downtown around 11:15 a.m. on Sunday. A man suffered a laceration to his hand and was treated at a local hospital. The Albuquerque Police Department said in a statement. Police said the suspect rode a bike and was armed with a large knife. WKRP, Cincinnati. Good memories, Claudia. About 2 miles east, near the University of New Mexico, police received another call about a victim who was stabbed in the arm. A third stabbing occurred in front of an apartment building around 1 p.m., and a fourth was reported nearby, in which a man was stabbed in the neck. Police said another call came about a suspect attempting to stab customers at a convenience store. Officers arrived and found multiple stabbing victims. Two were taken to hospital, and all are in stable condition. So, that's terrible. Terrible news there. Oh, man. Good call out, Claudio M. Yeah, yesterday was the Super Bowl, a U.S. football championship, and it was between L.A. and Cincinnati, and Cincinnati lost. So WKRP Cincinnati is crying for sure. There's a lot of bad news, a lot of sad news. Don't worry. we have more painful news here, but I promise it's not all bad news. Gunmen in Mexico have killed 9 people, mourning the death of a man who died in jail last week. The 9 were killed in 2 attacks in the northern city of Ciudad Juarez. Assailants first burst into a private home where friends and family had gathered for the wake of the inmate and shot dead 2 women and a man. Hours later, the premises where the funeral service for the same man was being held were targeted by attackers who killed 6 more people. Witnesses said the gunmen stormed into the home, which doubles as an evangelical church, as a pastor was holding the funeral service. They described scenes of panic as the gunmen opened fire. Among those killed were a 12-year-old boy and his father. Investigators told local media there were strong indications that the same criminal group was behind both attacks. Officials have not released the name of the inmate whose funeral was attacked, but the prosecutor's office said he had been killed on Wednesday while imprisoned in a jail in the city of Chihuahua. His body had been returned for burial in Ciudad Juarez. Ciudad Juarez is on Mexico's border with the U.S., is one of the Mexican cities with the highest murder rate nationwide. In 2021, an average of 4 people were murdered every day in the city. Most of the murders are linked to rivalries between local drug gangs, the region's attorney general says. So, very troubling. Hey, welcome, Ronald. Thanks for tuning in. And Dirty Rig commenting he boycotts the NFL. I'd say that's a fair thing to do. They've done plenty to be boycottable. All right. Well, what else is going on? Well, more death in Mexico, or at least death threats. And if you're in the United States, savor your avocados. They're not going to be coming in for a while. U.S. halts avocado imports from Mexico after threat to American inspector. Threats to an American agricultural inspector in the Mexican state of Michoacán caused the U.S. to suspend imports of avocados from its neighbor, officials said, disrupting a $2.4 billion industry during one of its busiest times of the year. Mexico's Department of Agriculture said in a statement that the inspector received a threatening message on his cell phone, prompting the ban on avocado exports to the U.S. until further notice. The U.S. Agricultural Department, or USDA, has not confirmed the move, but warned after an incident in 2019 in which a team of U.S. inspectors was reportedly robbed at gunpoint that further threats would prompt an immediate cessation of program activities. Michoacán is the only state in Mexico with a license to export avocados to the U.S., and the Mexican Growers and Packer Association says its members are a frequent target of violence and threats from organized crime groups seeking protection money. In 2020, the most recent year for which figures are available, Mexico exported 965 metric tons, that's 2.1 billion pounds, of avocados to the U.S. So, I can't even picture what 2.1 billion pounds of avocados look like. It's a 7% increase on the previous year as demand for guacamole and other avocado products increased. So this is all just like the pandemic was 2020. So I wonder what's going on there. If our usage is up or down. Sounds like it's up. Mexico announced the USDA's decision the night before the Super Bowl in Los Angeles, traditionally one of the biggest days of avocado consumption, although produce used this year was exported several weeks before the game. The inspector who was threatened was part of a team working for the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Services Department. The U.S. lifted a 3-year ban on Mexican avocados in 1997 after an inspection deal was struck to try to prevent weevils, scabs, and other pests from entering orchards. So, that's how that's going. Word from Com SMJ, I love my avocados from Mexico. And Claudio M. hopes they'd better resolve this before Cinco de Mayo. so, that is your avocado news. And that's kind of the... I hope you feel okay. Because
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
We've made it through most of the death and destruction. And it's our 420th show, live show. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. The death and destruction around the world, it's maddening, and it can be really depressing, but it's something, you know, we always want to be abreast of at least any of the big news going on, and don't let these little things sweep under the rug. All right, well, since it's the 420th live show, I had planned to play something else, but since I saw that, let's listen to this marijuana song. It's called Smoke Two Joints by Sublime.
She was living in a single room with three other individuals. One of them was a male, and the other two, well, the other two were females. God only knows what they were up to in there. And furthermore, Susan, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to learn that all four of them habitually smoke marijuana cigarettes. Reefers.
Is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to a non-radio powered by SDF. And SDF, well, it's powered by you. So thank you so much for being here and tuning in and listening. Stick around at 1930 UTC every single day. We've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope. That'll be coming up soon. And on Fridays, after Vintage Comp, there was a synth battle recently that was really a lot of fun, and it sounds like, according to the email list and things bumping around, that this might happen again soon. So keep your eyes open on the schedule and tune in. There's lots of fun shows on Anon Radio. If you're in comm, you can press equal sign to see a upcoming schedule. You can also just go to anonradio.net. and see all the stuff that's happening. There's a lot of really cool stuff. So please, I'd encourage you to check all of that out. All right. Well, Let's talk about something that's not death and destruction for a second.
This is time for tech news.
Synth Battle Royale. Excuse me, I shouldn't have said synth battle. It's a synth battle royale. All right. Well, there's a few cool technology things going on that I wanted to mention. First, from the Debian project. This is all from LWN.net. Every Saturday after Vintage Comp with Jazzmath. Excuse me. Thanks, SMJ, for the clarification. Debian reconsiders new review. The Debian project is known for its commitment to free software, the effort that it puts into ensuring its distribution is compliant with the licenses of the software it ships, and the energy it puts into discussions around that work. A recent and ongoing discussion started with a query about a relatively obscure aspect of the process by which new packages enter the distribution, but ended up questioning the project's approach towards licensing and copyright issues. While no real conclusions were reached, it seems likely the themes heard in this discussion, which relate to Debian's role in the free software community in general, will play a prominent part in future debates. Debian project does not hand out the right to place packages into the distribution lightly. Prospective packagers must first become Debian developers via a lengthy process that involves working with a mentor and convincing that person that the candidate firmly understands Debian's philosophy and policies. A considerable amount of time may elapse between the initial application and the eventual invitation to throw their key into the key ring and become a proper Debian developer. Even then, though, there is an obstacle to overcome in the form of the new queue. That's N-E-W in all caps. Any new package added to the distribution, a package for a program that Debian has not previously distributed, for example, will be placed in the new queue for manual review prior to being accepted. The review process checks the package complies with Debian's policies in general, that it plays well with existing packages, and that it's something that Debian can legally distribute. It is, in a sense, the final quality control step imposed by Debian before a new package can enter the repository. The new queue review falls to the FTP master team, or just the FTP team. This team has a number of responsibilities, including actually running the repository, moving packages around under the directions of the release managers, maintaining some of the project's packaging tools, and reviewing packages in the new queue. This team thus plays a crucial role in the overall operation of the project. It's currently only 5 developers, helped by 5 assistants. The new queue currently contains 208 packages, some of which have been there as long as 11 months. That number seems high, but it's down from nearly 300 earlier this week and a high of over 500 in November. Putting a package into the new queue is a non-deterministic experience for a Debian developer. There's no way to know how long it'll take to get a response. So it's not a surprise that a lot of developers dread their encounters with this queue. So, yeah. The big thing here is the copyright and licensing review part of the process is important. Scott Kitterman is the only member of the FTP team who participated significantly in discussion and made it clear that the licensing checks are not the only controls that happen during new queue review, but Russ Albury shifted the discussion in his response to Smedergaard by saying that ignoring licensing isn't the objective of those who would like to change the rules for the new queue. The question which keeps being raised, in part because I don't think it's gotten a good answer, is what the basis is for treating copyright and licensing bugs differently than any other bug in Debian. So that's kind of the idea. If you would like a link to this story, it's really long, but it's interesting. Just hit me up. I can give you a free link to the story. And one other one I wanted to mention. This is a bit too long. We'll skip it. Sorry. Let's go over here and jump back. Hey, Iogama. Welcome, welcome. Enjoyed you on the synth battle. Thanks for tuning in. So, here, let's get on the move. Back to world news.
World.
Russia is using Nord Stream 2 as a geopolitical weapon, Zelensky warns. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on Monday told Germany's visiting chancellor, Olaf Scholz, that Russia was wielding its Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline as a geopolitical weapon. The controversial energy link bypassing Ukraine has been growing irritant in Germany's relations with Washington and Kiev. We have certain disagreements in our assessments of the Russian-German energy link, Zelensky said, after talks with Scholz in Kiev. we clearly understand that it is a geopolitical weapon. Russia has completed the building of the pipeline, which runs under the Baltic Sea, but German regulators are yet to approve its use. U.S. President Joe Biden has warned that he would find a way to bring an end to the project should Russia invade Ukraine. Without mentioning Nord Stream 2 by name, Scholz said that no one should doubt the determination and preparedness of Berlin to punish Russia in case it attacks its neighbor. So, big danger zone here. Germany not really changing its position. They would really like to use that gas and turn that gas pipeline on. And of course, as we know, they've been pushing to have natural gas classified as a green fuel. In Canada, key Canada-U.S. bridge reopens after police remove protesters and vehicles. North America's busiest trade link reopened for traffic late Sunday evening, ending a six-day blockade, Canada Border Services Agency said after Canadian police cleared the protesters fighting to end COVID-19 restrictions. Canadian police made several arrests on Sunday and cleared protesters and vehicles that occupied the Ambassador Bridge in Windsor, Ontario, after a court order on Friday. The blockade had choked the supply chain for Detroit car makers, forcing Ford Motor Co., the second largest U.S. automaker, General Motors, and Toyota Motor Corp. to cut production. The bridge carries about $360 million a day in two-way cargoes, 25% of the value of all U.S.-Canada goods trade. A Windsor police official told reporters that 20 to 30 arrests had been made. Wow. Police stepped up their presence on Sunday with more than 50 vehicles, including cruisers, buses, and an armored car, as well as the number of protesters. As the number of protesters dropped to around 45 from roughly 100 on Saturday. Windsor police tweeted there will be a zero tolerance for illegal activity. In Ottawa, counter-protests started blocking vehicles trying to join the protest on Sunday, with residents losing patience over the three-week-old demonstrations. So, here we go. That kind of has come to an end. I'm really surprised it was allowed to go on so long, but I guess it's good. I think in the U.S., we're quick to just bring out the dogs and the fire hoses and just shoot up protesters, but Canada seemed to have a good patience there. Way to go. Selfish and stupid. COVID protesters get short shrift in Wellington. Residents expressing increasing frustration with a group of a few hundred occupying areas near Parliament for a second week. Despite warnings of heavy rain as a result of Cyclone Dovi, protests against the government's pandemic measures are entering a second week in New Zealand's capital as frustration grows among city residents. Wellington has faced traffic delays and closed streets since February 8th as protesters, inspired by the so-called Freedom Convoy in Canada, park cars, vans, and buses in the capital as part of an effort to occupy Parliament's lawn. Charlotte Hall, age 33, works at Hunters and Collectors, a vintage designer store in the city. She says life was already difficult for the retail industry because people were working from home and feeling unsure about going out or what's in store for the future, and the protesters have made it worse. Vaccinated because she doesn't want to get COVID-19, Hall says she has no issue with the government and its COVID-19 policies. They're doing everything they can in the circumstances, and we haven't had the number of lockdowns that we've seen overseas, Hall said. The restrictions that are in place aren't new or unique. They're happening everywhere because people are literally dying. The protesters, who now number a few hundred, are selfish, ignorant, stupid, and unworldly, she says. Police are continuing to monitor and contain activity at Parliament grounds, Wellington District Commander Corey Parnell says. So, we're running out of time, so I just want to say thanks for tuning in, and please enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe coming up in just a few seconds, I suppose. Thanks for being here. There's plenty more news. We'll talk about it tomorrow. And I'm not sure. My clock, I think we're out of time. I don't know. I'm going to just play some tunes here.
Resistance is futile. Thank you.